And now it's my distinct pleasure to present the Philip F. Anschutz Trophy to the captain of the Columbus crew, Guillermo Barros Escaloto.
Of the 2008 MLS Super Draft, the Los Angeles football craft select from the University of Akron.
If this happened in Argentina, maybe people die. Someone could die, you know?
If they took Nueva Chicago and they were moving it to Rosario.
Still a chance for a fourth goal here. Afful drives forward. Afful scores! What a goal! It is amazing! King Harrison grabs the crown in second half stoppage time!
Hey buddies, it's the Massive Report podcast brought to you by the Old North Arcade, 2591 North High Street, a 21 and up arcade with dozens of classic arcade games, foosball, air hockey, and a dope porch. www.oldnortharcade.com. Hit it up. We are back after a somewhat eventful week on the footy pitch for your Columbus crew. We're going to be talking about it. It's the playoffs, baby. We've got Ralph Trudell with us. Ralph, how you doing, sir?
Playoffs.
Everybody's got to get their Tom Herman and not Tom Herman.
Jim Mora.
Oh, was that Jim Mora?
I believe so.
Back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, we got to get that in. And also, let's hear your best Jim Mora impression, Alex Stanek, our other guest.
My what?
Your best Jim Mora. Come on, the playoffs.
Dude. No.
Hey, nope. Yeah, you're going to do it. Come on, it's part of the shtick, man. We talked about this before we went on air.
We did not. I'm not doing it. I'm doing well, though.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. We'll just make our way through this anyway. Fortunately, even though Alex is going to be the Wayne Rooney of this podcast, we're going to just battle through him and defeat him regardless, just like your Columbus crew did last Thursday, going into DC and just crapping all over the MLS's narratives. It was it's overdone and cliche at this point to even compare it to last year in Atlanta. And yet, you know, it does seem like that kind of game where if you find a way and manage to win and like, you know, Zach Steffen can steal you a game, boy, that can just be a springboard to a nice little playoff run. And it looks like, at least, you know, with the results Sunday that we'll get to as well, that it might have been that for you. What was your, you know, thoughts seeing this game go the way it did into extras, seeing, you know, this crew team lose these leads and yet find a way to win, Ralph?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. DC United came into this game. It was, I believe, 64 days since the Black and Red actually lost a game, and they were unbeaten in 8 of 9 at home at Audi Field. So, you know, conventional wisdom would say that luck favored DC United on Thursday night. But, you know, as we know, the playoffs, they call it a postseason for a reason. It's a whole different season. And, you know, there's some magic that was had in DC United. So, I mean, DC got going in the 21st minute off of a Frederick Brilliant cross. I believe it was from Wayne Rooney, the magisterial.
It was a bunk play. Like, I mean, Brilliant couldn't have been luckier to be where he was.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the thing, right? You know, Gordie Howe, I believe, Bart, you'll understand this. You got to be good to be lucky and lucky to be good. The old hockey reference there, so to speak. But, you know, Brilliant gets the boys on the board from DC in the 21st minute. Higuain comes back up with not the prettiest header. I mean, who'd have thought the maestro would be using the front of the old noggin there to get Crew SC level in the 30th minute? And both teams go in, you know, into extra time at 1-1, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, this, you know, starts to have a lot of the same feeling that, you know, the Atlanta United game had last year. And then, you know, what? How apropos is it, guys, that Federico Higuain scores in the 96th minute of extra time to give Crew SC the 2-1 advantage? And then Nick De Leon, the hero, as they would not let us forget about on television, would of the 2012, so we're talking 6 years ago, playoffs there, that Nick De Leon gets Crew or DC United back on the board after a lackluster clearance from Crew SC out of their defensive third, and an absolute golazo, as they say in the industry, into the net there, and you go into penalty kicks at 2-2. But I mean, it was a contentious match. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, and then Wayne Rooney comes up right off the bat. Wayne Rooney's number one in the penalty kick order, and Zach Steffen stops him. You know, this is the Wayne Rooney of Manchester United, Everton fame, and England fame. And you know, Zach Steffen sets the tone early and gets a stop on Rooney, which absolutely, I believe, started the penalty kick shootout as best as it could happen for Crew SC, really. You know, and then you go through the lineup, and then everybody's favorite hero, Nick De Leon, comes back up again to try to keep DC United in it, and he skies it. You know, some would say that ball still has not come down. It might be circling around with Michael Bradley's penalty kick from the CONCACAF Champions League, but you know, it was an interesting game, guys. I mean, this game I thought was very contentious. It was a playoff game that you know, very much expected. But for a lot of people, I think the original fans, you know, I came on kind of late into the scene. But, you know, for the original fans out there that remembered these rivalry games in the late 90s, I mean, I think this was a nice throwback for some fans out there.
Yes, absolutely. As someone who was around for those early games, I still hate DC United. I hate their fans. I hate their supporters groups. I hated their old decrepit stadium that never should have been a soccer stadium. I hate their uniforms. I hate their logo. I hate everything about that team. And I hate Wayne Rooney. And I've hated him since he was a European player. So everything was good for me. Watching Wayne Rooney missed that penalty was a highlight of the season for me. The Wayne Rooney is fat and bad agenda is back on, boys. Yep. So that is back on. I don't know if anybody caught it, but he was wearing a shirt that was at least one size too big. Did not want to, you know, hug the skin too tightly because Wayne Rooney is fat and he is bad.
It actually looked like one of my jerseys that I own.
It was a great performance from the team. I really enjoyed that. But the main takeaways for me are, number one, Zach Steffen is the superhero. Number two, Pipa is the GOAT. And I don't want to hear anybody say otherwise. He is the greatest player ever in Crew history. Quote me on it. Argue with me on Twitter about it. I am on board with that at this point. I don't care that we haven't won a cup yet. He is the best ever to wear the black and gold. And I will defend that later if people are interested in it. But the third fact is that Wayne Rooney is fat and bad. So those three things put together were amazing. I was a little bit disappointed that Ben Olsen was not quite as salty post-game as I thought he was going to be. He just kind of said, you know, oh, these things happen. We played a good game. Penalties is kind of whatever. You never know how it's going to end up. And that was it. I was really hoping that there would be some specific fouls that he wanted called that didn't get called. Maybe a yellow card here or there that he was upset about. Didn't get any of that from him, which was really disappointing because I was hoping for that to be kind of the icing on the cake. But you had a lot of DC United fans being very salty on Twitter. You had some people saying that they hoped that Pedro Santos broke his leg when he went off injured. I enjoyed the salt on that. And overall, just a fantastic evening, all things considered. And yeah, and then we went on the Red Bull, and that was fun as well. But really enjoyed that DC game. Whenever DC fans and DC players are miserable, I am the opposite of miserable. So yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing too that I think needs mentioning, I mean, not only was the offense good, you know, Pipa was magisterial, but I think the defense was great too. You know, you look at Jonathan Mensah, Gaston Saro, who, you know, we had a nice article about him earlier this week, or actually late last week, about, you know, the rehab that he went through. We all know that he went through this catastrophic knee injury in which he is now living with a cadaver tendon, keeping his knee together that allows him to continue to play the game that he loves. But Gaston Sarro was excellent. And I think Jonathan Mensah too, as we talk about, you know, get into the New York Red Bull game, you know, Jonathan Mensah was superb. I mean, this is the designated player that Greg Berhalter signed. And I think this is the, you know, this is the version, this is the best version that we have both defenders. But, you know, I think Jonathan Mensah specifically did a lot of wonders for Crew SC on Thursday night, and I think he did it again on Sunday.
They were both incredible, and Mensah especially. And Mensah got a lot of stick early on from Crew fans, and a lot of it rightly so. But he has just been in incredible form. He has stuffed every striker he's come up against the last month or two, and just completely neutralized these superstar talents that everybody keeps talking about. You know, we'll talk about New York later, but he completely eliminated Bradley Wright Phillips from that game, and he completely eliminated Wayne Rooney from the DC game. Wayne Rooney was a non-factor for basically the entire match. I actually, the first tweet I sent after we went on penalties was to Jonathan Mensah, and I tweeted him, and I said, you can take Wayne Rooney out of your pocket now. He was that good. He was absolutely incredible. And Gaston is putting in really solid shifts. I have said this before, I'll say it again. I hope Gaston Sarro retires in black and gold. I hope we keep him forever. He's just one of these characters that seem to find their way to Columbus, that fall in love with the city and the city falls in love with them. Great guy, great player, amazing talent. You know, always gives 110%, which is something I really care about. And he's in top form as well. So having those two guys and then Josh Williams as well, I mean, can you possibly pick a better defensive situation right now? I don't think so. They did an excellent job against a really, really good DC team. And, you know, we'll talk about Red Bull in a little bit. But no team is really frightening me except for maybe one right now. And I think this team can go far. I'm really feeling good about the playoffs right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think when the playoffs started, I was very pessimistic, you know, because it's been a long season. We all know what has been going on, obviously, on and off the field. But, you know, it seemed that especially coming in kind of, I don't want to say limping into the end of the season, particularly with, you know, Minnesota United and Orlando City. And I can't think of the game that was before Orlando City off the top of my head for some reason. It's skipping my mind, but if anybody remembers that one, feel free to interject. But
I've just purposely forgot the last, month and a half of the season because it was a death march.
Yeah, but you know,
before Orlando was Montreal.
A lot of folks. Yeah. Okay, so Montreal.
Exactly. Why that was really just suppressed in the memory, just hidden away. Oh boy.
So you know, you think about the, you know, kind of Crew SC. I think it's fair to say we could say that the black and gold really kind of limped into the playoffs, you know, so, but to kind of come into the playoffs, face a hot team like DC United, you know, like you said, Alex, you know, Mensah had Rooney in his pocket the entire time. I completely forgot Bradley Wright Phillips was on the field yesterday. I mean, he was so well neutralized by the defense. You know, it's starting, the optimism starting to switch. And, you know, one more thing about Gaston, and I know we kind of don't want to make this the Gaston Sarro hour, but you know, he really loves being in Columbus. That's something that he is really made no bones about. He loves the time here. You know, the franchise has really given him a great shot, especially after having this injury. You know, they could have very well cut him loose and said, hey, you know, happy trails, bud. But, you know, he really loves it here. Had the birth of his first son here in the city, so that he's always got a very nice tie to the city there. Loves the fans, too, and the fans love him. I mean, his social media antics, I know we've said a couple times on this show, are second to none. He is probably one of the best follows on Crew SC social media to, you know, take in, and definitely recommend at least following his Instagram account because he is hilarious.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of those things you look at the fact that, and we don't need to, stick on it too much. But again, Gaston coming back, able to play 120 minutes. That's an impressive feat in and of itself. Likewise, it was for Frederico Higuain to go the whole 120 minutes. And Nets himself, I think this may have been coined by someone else, but we'll call it as kind of Mike Arias was also pointing it out in his column. We're going to call it the Frederico Higuain hat trick. You got your Tony Chani hat trick, which is a goal, assist, and a yellow card. And then the Frederico Higuain hat trick, a goal in regular time, a goal in extra time, and a goal in the penalty shootout. That's what we're going to go with. And we'll see if we have some more of them. But I think, coming in, so he goes there, goes 120 minutes, 34 years old, and helps you get to, this next round, the two legs. But there are some questions coming. What is it going to look like? What's the lineup going to look like from Greg Berhalter in this first leg against a New York team that is coming off of more than a week of rest, whereas Columbus, you're coming off of 3 days rest after 3 days rest, and you saw a lineup that has never played together. I don't think that the combination of that 11 players, even I think with subs, probably never played or spent any time on the field together. And again, not the most dominant performance, but a game I think that was tactically managed incredibly well by Greg Berhalter. And as some I think a friend of the show Andrew King kind of pointed out in his article for The Athletic, that it's one of those that kind of silences, I think, some of the naysayers about the U.S. men's national team. And the fact that probably the worst kept secret in the world is that Greg Berhalter will be their next coach. But he was masterful from the sideline there tactically. And I think none of it may be better demonstrated than the goal. But, Ralph or Alex, if you want to just kind of walk us through that game, one of the more thrilling 1-0 performances I remember seeing in Moffrey Stadium.
Yeah, so the game got kind of started. We were talking about this before the show went live that, it was just a weird game. It started very strange. New York came out kind of, firing, looking to come out on the front foot. And, they kind of asserted their will at points during the first half. But then, Crew SC somehow kept clawing back and were very much in it, which was an interesting thing. But it really was anybody's game. It was a very good defensively sound game in the first half. Both teams kind of traded chances, canceled each other out. You had two great goalies. Anytime you get Robles and Stefan against each other, it's probably going to be a low-scoring affair because those are two of the better goalies, I believe, in Major League Soccer and therefore the United States at the moment, at least in the top-tier professional league. But, right off the bat, let's talk about that lineup again. Let's go back to that lineup because that was a very interesting lineup. You had Stefan at the back, Awful, Mensah, Williams, and Valenzuela, which, the big difference was Josh Williams in for Gaston Saro. Trapp and Artur were there in the middle. And here's where it gets a little dicey, a little strange there, is Justin Miram on the left. You had Luis Argudo in the center of the park, which is a little bit different. We saw that once or twice this season, I believe. It was actually, I think, against New York last time they were here because it was one of those really weird stretches where it was 3 games in 8 days. Then you had Giassi Zardes on the right-hand side of the park, which normally if they deploy this formation, Zardes is on the left. And then you had Patrick Mullins up top there. But, as you saw, guys, and Bart, you touched on it brilliantly too, is this formation was, always kind of moving. It was very fluid. It never really stayed too stagnant because you had oftentimes Zardes would take the lead run most of the time if the ball was tried to at least be played in behind the defense. Zardes was the main runner there, and Mullins would pull up on a late run for support. But, it was a masterful performance from Greg Berhalter, and it even got better with the injection of Frederico Higuain in the second half. The maestro once again wasted little to no time to get involved in the game, and in the 61st minute, absolutely spraying Giassi Zardes for that first goal and that pivotal 1-0 aggregate lead going into the game in Harrison on Sunday. But again, the master tactician it is Greg Berhalter, and as you said, it's the worst kept secret, but there are people absolutely on the internet right now just dying over the defensive buildup and the perfect space between the back line and how the right passes in the switch of field started the whole play and generated that goal.
It was, and I think, you know, Colin Johnson for the Master Report puts together the anatomy, and it was, you know, the goal was a nice bait and switch, really, from the crew playing into, you know, anticipating, and again, where the credit needs to go to Greg Berhalter as well, the, you know, sucking in that press from the Red Bulls, knowing that they were going to be pressing hard, and then, you know, able to get it behind them quickly, and then the switch there from Artur from that right side of the field all the way over to find Milton. And, I mean, nice touches all around, really. That was an incredible team effort. But you know, starting again from the manager, the man on the sideline that, you know, helped coach him, and we've been all, you know, frustrated times by Greg Berhalter and, you know, sometimes his, you know, wanting to impose his will and play his style of play. But you look at it, you look at the numbers. I mean, I think there were probably 20 total minutes where New York had better possession than Columbus. They did a great job of playing keep away against this team. I think possession ended up being around 60-40 in favor of Columbus. And, you know, again, great tactical work and good work getting everybody, that entire, you know, everyone involved, people that you haven't seen too much of. Luis Argudo, what are you going to, you know, who never seen him in a playoff situation. He gives you some, you know, good minutes, a good first half, you know, running around, keeping active. Now, obviously not as not quite as skilled as Pipa Higuain, doesn't have that vision, but put in a decent half from you. And it's one of those things, Alex, where, you know, I think, and Ralph was kind of alluding to it earlier, where it didn't feel good about this team coming into the playoffs, but you get those two results, as maybe ugly as they are, as gutting it out, whatever you want to call it, you can't help but feel confident like this team can make some noise. I mean, they're going into New York, maybe not in the driver's seat, but certainly in control of their own destiny.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at the game in New York, you just got to score. You got to score one, mm-hmm. and then it's over. You know, if you get an away goal with that goal already in hand, then, you know, New York have to march down there and score three on you. The form that our team is in right now, I just don't see that happening. I really don't. The defensive form right now, all those guys are firing on all cylinders. They look amazing. They look unified. Stefan's doing a great job. I thought Stefan could have done better a little bit in that DC game on that first goal, but he knew it. Mm-hmm. He stepped up for the rest of the game. I thought he was magnificent against New York. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. That save towards the end of the game is one of the best he's had. But you know, you look ahead a little bit at the teams that maybe they could face later on in the playoffs, and I'm not sure there's anybody who's terrifying. I mean, Atlanta are scary, but there's nobody else that I really think is going to give this team a heck of a lot of trouble if they stay in the kind of form they're in. This team always seems to have another gear that they can go into during the regular season, and I think that they might have been saving themselves for this postseason a little bit. I think they thought, in hindsight, maybe they thought that they were in good shape and that they just needed to kind of stay fit and stay focused and get there. But the performances that we have seen from this team are just unbelievable. Federico Higuain is in some of the best form I think he's ever been in a crew shirt. Just absolutely dictating the play. Mensah, Sorrow, Josh Williams, Zach Steffen, Will Trapp, they are all just playing out of their minds. It's really hard to see us losing to anybody right now. I mean, I would be really hard pressed to vote against this team in any contest at this stage. So definitely encouraging, a long way to go still. But there's just something about this team, guys. I don't know what it is. But you know, off the field, everybody doubted us and, you know, we come away looking like we're going to win the whole thing. And on the field, who knows? Who knows where this thing ends, but definitely encouraging so far.
Yeah, I agree, you know, and it's very interesting. I recall kind of sitting back and checking Reddit on Thursday night because I tend to hang out, you know, in the MLS subreddit and the Massive, of course, and, you know, just looking, somebody came in to one of the MLS subreddits and said, you know, who the hell is this Crew SC team? I thought we were supposed to be, you know, trouncing them, and somebody answered back, and it wasn't even a Crew fan, it was somebody from a different squad, and said, you know, no, you're getting the playoff Crew. This is the playoff Crew. And this is, you know, and it's true, right? I mean, this team seems to kind of come up to a different gear. You know, I think the guys, you know, for athletes, you know, you get that winner go home mentality and it suddenly changes things. Because if you have one misstep, give up an away goal or do something, you know, silly, it could spell the end of your season. So I think, you know, Greg Berhalter, having talked to these guys, you know, Josh Williams too recently, these guys are so hyper-focused and they understand what's at stake. And I think, you know, and this is speculation. There's no proof to this necessarily. But, you know, I think for the guys, truly, the fans are a driving force for these guys. And, you know, it's, you know, how devoted the fans have been to saving the team and doing something so unprecedented ever that has ever been seen in the sports landscape. We're not just talking United States, but, you know, I think the guys are super driven and they want to give back to the fans because the fans have given so much to them. You know, no matter how big or how little you played a role in the Save the Crew effort, these guys are thankful because they have jobs. They don't have to, you know, find new leases. They can sign their lease again for another year. They can, you know, make plans. And that's a lot to somebody. And, you know, there's something to be said for morale. It's, you know, if any of the three of us are having a good time at our job or, you know, doing well or happy at our job, we're going to perform better. And I think that's a lot of what we're seeing with the Crew is that, you know, you have job security now. So go out and do your best. And, you know, I think they are living their best life. There's no better way to put it. I think they are living their best life right now.
And can I just talk a little bit about the goal?
Yes, you may.
I everything about that play was gorgeous. I mean, from the build-up and the ball got played in. I was in Nordeca for this, so it was at the far end. But I saw, I think it was Merrim, kind of darting down that left-hand side. Might have been Pedro, but I thought it was Merrim. And plays it into
Merrim.
It's J9.
Plays it into to Pipa, and I just saw him flick his leg, and then I lost the ball for a bit. But then I see Zardes kind of turn his body like he's about to shoot, and my jaw just dropped before he had even kicked the ball. Federico Higuain is amazing, and if I'm Greg Berhalter or whoever is making the decisions for the players right now, you know, if any team in the entire league were to come to me and say, hey, we will trade you this player for Federico Higuain, I don't care who the player is. I'm saying no. I don't care if it's Piatti or if it's Wayne Rooney or if it's Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I don't care. I'm saying no, and I'm hanging up on them. He is unbelievable. He is a player who is so in line with the system that we have that you could not find a better match than Federico Higuain and Greg Berhalter. It is incredible to watch. And when he came in at halftime, I remember turning around to the people behind me and saying, we're going to win this game. Mm-hmm. There was just no doubt. And he bossed that second half. It was not just that goal. He dominated the play. Everything went through him. He distributed the ball well. He controlled the pace. He did everything that you want a number 10 to do. He is the perfect man for this position. And you know, I think when Greg leaves, it's going to be really interesting to see who kind of comes in and what role Federico Higuain has in that system. I hope it's Josh Wolf, and I hope Josh Wolf basically changes nothing. Mm-hmm. Because I think that it's a match made in heaven. We can kind of re-examine the shape in the system once Federico Higuain retires. But until that day, and I hope that day is a long way away, and I hope that day is after he has had an incredibly successful career in Columbus here, I hope we win like two more MLS Cups with him. But you don't change anything with him because he is just a wizard. You watch him and it's just it's art. I mean, it is just art. And yeah, and that goal was everything Pipa brings. It was just that little simple motion. He wasn't looking, but he knew Zardes was there because they had done that probably a million times in training before. Knew Zardes was there. Zardes knew that that flick was going to come through and just got there and finished. And man, I love this team. That's all I want to say. I love this team, and Pipa is the greatest. Back to you guys.
No, he's kind of, I think he exemplifies, because when was, you know, the last time we found ourselves talking about, gosh, Pipa, you know, he's getting up there, but he's playing the best soccer that I can remember him playing in a black and gold uniform, was last year in the playoffs. And he, I mean, again, it's cliche, but he's a dude that, and it's not even like he just turns this, you know, flips the switch and he's half-assing it during the regular season or something. But to just have the goal to bring it to that next level, or, you know, to at 34, whether it's just, you know, the great shape that he keeps himself in, you know, through training, or if it's just, you know, he's saving himself a little bit throughout the season, just so he can go full blow in the postseason. I mean, to put in the amount of minutes that he put into through these past three games, and put in the quality minutes and performance, and just, you know, be the catalyst that he is for this team. I kind of, you know, my heart goes with Guillermo, when you're still talking about, you know, the best players in crew history. But I think if Frederico Higuain can get you that trophy, then he maybe goes in front of Guillermo. I think in terms of just, because I think of the best, like, pure, most dominant performances distilled in like a season or two. I don't think any crew players had a more dominant stretch than Guillermo Barrichello did in the 2008 and 2009 seasons. If you look at the aggregate body of work, I think Frederico Higuain, but what Guillermo did in those 2 years, I don't think any players had a better two seasons, and so that's where I put him ahead of Frederico.
See, I mean, I think that he had those two seasons, and he was amazing. And I think he's going to go down.
He was only there for like four seasons, too. Frederico Higuain's been here, what, since
2012? Yep. He's been here since 2012. Mm-hmm. And during that time, he has basically been the guy in a way that I'm not sure Guillermo was kind of the single figure. And I guess you could argue during the Kai Kamara era in Columbus that there was kind of a tandem there. But for the majority of the time that he has been here since 2012, he's been the guy. He was the one DP. I mean, he was the only DP we had for seasons.
The one DP to rule them all.
Yeah, he was the guy. And I think that 20 years from now, whether or not Pipa wins a trophy here, I think the fans who remember Pipa will remember this kind of all-encompassing figure, this, you know, foundational figure during this period in crew history. Whereas I think when you look at the 08 team, there's a number of guys you can kind of point to as people. I mean, there was Frankie, there were a lot of people kind of involved in that are legends. I think the interesting thing about this period with Higuain is he's maybe the only guy you can point to who is a legend. I do think if we save the crew, I think Will Trapp is probably a Circle of Honor guy, just on the basis that he was kind of a part of that. I don't know if everybody's
gone next year.
I think so. The thing that sticks out to me, and I was tweeting about this last week. I don't know how many people know about this, but he's been wearing a different armband the last couple months.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about that on here. It's awesome.
Yeah, on the outside of the armband are all of the different Nordeca supporters groups. This was made by a fan and given to Will, and he wore it and continues to wear it every game, I think, since he got it.
Is he getting fined by the league for that, or is it just I don't know. They realize the optics of that are just garbage?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't believe he is
because I've seen when Sasha Kljestan was with the Red Bulls, ironically, he was wearing something similar.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure if people have known about this or not. It was kind of kept secret for a long time, but on the inside of the armband is not anything related to the supporters groups, and it's not blank. But on the inside, it says, "You fight for us, we fight for you," and it's got the Save the Crew logo. And he's been wearing that in Crew games since way before this was official. And he's the hometown captain who led his team on a pretty heroic run, even if the season ends tomorrow, during a season where we fought back and saved the Crew. He was also the captain last year when we went on that run. That kind of energized the city in a lot of ways and you know, got people even more on board with Save the Crew. So he's a figure who I think is historic in a lot of ways. But Federico Higuain, my goodness. He has just been a dominant figure in the history of this team during that period of time. And, you know, if they go on a cup run, and I hope so much they go on a cup run. God. But if they do, I think he's cemented there. But I was thinking about this, and we're probably way off topic, but I was thinking about this recently. If you would have slotted Higuain into that 08 team, you know, I think they still would have won the cup. I mean, I don't think that there's any kind of doubt in my mind. Or even if you would have slotted this entire team or that 2015 team into that 08 season, I think they would have won it. It was really unfortunate what happened in the MLS Cup final in 2015. But, yeah, I don't think that's on Pipa. It was just a defensive lapses that he had nothing to do with. But, yeah, it's
the ball that was out of bounds by a yard.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah. But, I mean, we are on a great run here. And I know this is super early to talk about it, but there's just something about this team. And I'm getting 2015 flashbacks, and hopefully the end result can be a little bit different. But I would love. Could you imagine if we saved the Crew and then we just won the cup? Can you even imagine?
Speaking of like 2015 and like getting far ahead of ourselves, RSL, man, it's a draw. They're 1-1 going to who are they playing again? Sporting SKC, Kansas obviously. City. KC's got that away goal on them, but
yeah.
Hey, 1-1 aggregate game, RSL, baby. There's still some hope. RSL is the only team that Crew could end up hosting MLS Cup against.
The funniest thing to me is that even if we go to an away stadium, Anthony Precourt's still not going to show up. but you know who's going to be on the pitch if we win the cup?
Because he's
a member of the team staff, Dr. Pete Edwards. And so they could, in theory, you know, just hand
give
the
cup
trophy
to him.
To the team doctor. You know, if the captain says, "Hey, hand it to the team doctor," maybe you can just hand it to the team doctor, you know, because he's just part of the staff, right, you guys? So I think it would be really wild if Pete Edwards got to lift MLS Cup before he's officially the owner of the team. That would be wild. This whole season has been wild, but wild in the best way possible. And we have a lot of people to thank for that. But thank you to the players for keeping the dream alive. And I think they're going to get it done in New York.
Can I say, at the risk of, you know, creating the sound bites that'll eventually be used against us if anything happened with the new ownership group? I don't believe that anything would happen with them. But to see at these past, and you know, I wasn't able to be on last week, so you guys might have kind of touched on it. But you know, the 2 weekends ago, with the event at Land Grant and the event the day before at Hofbräuhaus that the T-Bone put together, and all these other places, the way you see Pete Edwards go and work the crowd and wants to shake hands with everyone, meet everybody, you know, really, and I know Anthony Precourt did, you know, a lot of the same sort of stuff when he first, you know, he showed up at Hendox and, you know, met everybody, you, Alex, and everyone else. But I don't know, there's just, it's something more that, I mean, Pete just seems, it doesn't seem like it's forced. It seems genuine, dare I say authentic, and it's certainly so welcome to see, and just excited about the prospects of what this organization can do with some competent ownership that's supportive of their front office, with new front office personnel, at least, you know, at the higher levels, the decision makers, the colluders, you know, out of there. The front, you know, obviously the frontline staff, our account representative, Stacy, shout out to you especially. But, I mean, they've all been terrific in going through all this, and it's been so great to see, you know, the relief that they're able to have, at least, because you talked about the players, Ralph. But, you know, it's even worse for a kid, you know, who came here and they're making $25,000 a year. And it's, you know, that's the only thing that they've got, and they can, you know, be replaced by a whole bunch of other people coming right out of college in sports management. It's terrific to see, and it's so refreshing for Dr. Pete there, who's you know, our owner, and he's, yeah, first owner doctor. I think that's got to be a first in professional sports.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, going back to the Hofstra House event, and I think I might have said this on the podcast right after that happened, but you know, the most surreal moment for me was when T-Bone asked him what his favorite crew memory was from the past. And I kind of paused for a second thinking, oh, that's a weird question to ask a brand new owner. And then I thought, oh, wait, we don't have an out-of-town owner who knows nothing about the team anymore. We have an owner who has been with this team literally since the beginning and knows more about this team than almost any fan does, because he's been, you know, with the players, knowing them personally since the beginning. It's just a dream. Ownership group. You've got the NFL money, the NFL experience. You've got local committed ownership who want to keep this team here forever and who are going to make sure that that happens and who are committed to that and who have been here so long that they know everything about everything and they're like enthusiastic about getting involved. I cannot be happier about it. And every day that we go to that stadium and you watch the players warming up and Pete's out there on the field with them before the game. He's kicking the ball to the players while, you know, so they can take shots. He's watching them warm up. He's talking to Josh Wolf about this and that. It's just awesome to see that kind of involvement and to know that, hey, this guy is going to own the freaking team. Like, this is as close as we can get to a fan owning the team, which is something that a lot of people would like. But then you have this whole fear about, oh, well, is the fan going to know what they're doing? Well, Pete's been with this team for a long time, and they're going to have Browns people involved who are going to know the sports business side of things. We're going to be able to sell those tickets, get those sponsorships.
Because that can't be discounted. Like, the Browns are successful, you know, in Gates, even given how god-awful their team has been for the past. And, you know, part of that's Cleveland crazy, but they do a good job of still getting people motivated and willing to buy tickets to see a team that's going to lose 12 to 13 times a season.
Yeah, they get people to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to watch historically bad teams in the freezing cold every single year. So these guys can sell tickets. I'm not worried about that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a downtown stadium. It's going to be gorgeous. We're going to have a new training facility. It's going to be gorgeous. Everything is going to go great for us, but now is the moment where these guys carry us as far as we can go, and we are playing with house money. If we go to New York and get destroyed, I'm going to still walk away grinning like an idiot because the season has been incredible. And if we go farther, you know, can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is as if you would have rubbed a genie lamp and said, this is my dream scenario for the crew. It's all happening. So until the dream is dead, I'm just going to enjoy the ride. But what a dream it's been. It's been a crazy, crazy ride.
It certainly has. And, you know, we're hoping to see it keep going this weekend. Ralph, what sort of adjustments do you think, or what do you think that New York makes any adjustments? Any changes in personnel? I'd have to think that Columbus, you're going to see a more You know, more of the kind of traditional lineup that we've been used to be seeing with, you know, Frederick Eco Higuain getting the start, Jossie Zardes up top. You know, if Pedro's good to go, I know he was able to play there Sunday, but, you know, whether Greg wants to start him, whether he wants him coming off the bench, but, you know, some combination of Pedro Santos, Justin Meerum, and Nico Hansen on the wings. And then, you know, probably Jonathan Mensah with whomever Greg thinks is the best, you know, other pair or other center back with him. But what do you think? What do you expect to see? What sort of changes can we expect from Columbus in New Jersey on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you touched on it a little bit there, Bart. I mean, it's really kind of Greg Berhalter has an embarrassment of riches to choose from on Sunday, which, you know, hasn't been the case in years past, but... You know, basically, he can pick and choose whoever he wants to put in this lineup in the center back position. You know, our esteemed colleague Patrick Murphy talked a little bit on Sunday about Lalas Abubakar and, you know, kind of subbing him in to close the game out last night. And, you know, he had a little bit of an apprehension about that, especially with how Lalas's form kind of dipped towards the end of the season. But, you know, Lalas turns up in big games. He was huge in the Toronto game last year in the conference final. Looked pretty decent last night too, but you know, I expect for Crew SC, you know, much of the same. You know, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. You know, we're gonna see a 4-2-3-1. I imagine probably a tremendous amount of width from the black and gold on Sunday. And you know, the big thing is New York's gonna press, and I think they're gonna kind of go, you know, they're not gonna press any more aggressively necessarily than they were originally intending on last week. I think the playing field gets evened out a little bit more so now that both teams have a fair amount of rest, you know, with these players. I mean, in the regimen that they are on for recovery, it's rigorous. You know, there are ice baths. There's a great article that Tom Reed, another athletic writer, wrote about when the team was coming back on Thursday, that they were taking mandatory ice baths. They weren't partaking in any alcohol. They weren't partaking in, you know, any candy at all or anything like that, because they got candy on these
I'm just thinking just like Peepa, just like destroying a big bag of Skittles or something. Like,
but you know, when they charter these flights out, they get candy and stuff like that, and they, you know, there's a cause for celebration, but again,
we'll have to go along to every row just to take the candy away from them. They're hiding them in the, you know, hiding them in their pockets, in the pocket there in front with all the, you know, the cards and everything.
Exactly. But, you know, I expect, you know, Crew SC, like I said, to play with great width. They're probably going to pack the center of the park down a little bit more so where, you know, they're going to try not to let BWP work too much. You know, and I think they're going to try to shut it down along their wings too. I think they did an exquisite job. I think, you know, New York's going to probably play their style with a high press in the first half. And then, you know, as the game goes on, if they're still down 1-0 on aggregate, I imagine that press becomes more aggressive and they start committing more numbers forward, which, as we all know, we've been around this game long enough, will leave them susceptible to the counterattack, which is going to be very interesting to see if Crew SC have the legs for it. I trust that they will, you know, just because, you know, we know the recovery routine that they're working on and everybody's working on. Everybody's basically playing on the same field now. You know, the games are spaced out now. They're going to be a week apart. I think the conference finals are going to be 4 or 5 days apart if I looked correctly at the schedule. So everybody's on the same playing field from here on out. But I just imagine, you know, a desperate team, man. There's, you know, this New York team is good, but, you know, unfortunately they deal with that Red Bull moniker of, you know, kind of not doing well in big games. So it'll be interesting to see what Chris Armas can do, what BWP can do. You know, if Crew SC can keep Ray Phillips off the score sheet and make me forget that he's on the field on Sunday, I think it's going to be a great thing, and we'll see if for the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right. Well, we'll get some picks, and then, well, Ralph, you just kind of gone off on for a little bit here, so I'll Sorry. Let you get a break. No, that's perfect. That's what we were looking for. But we'll let you get the break in here and let Alex get the picks in first. Man, maybe we shouldn't do this because then I'm superstitious. Okay, Ralph, no, you have to pick first, then Alex. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, it's a big game. Both teams know what is at stake. And like you guys were saying, you know, Crew SC gets that first goal on the road. It's a kill shot. You got to win three. You got to pop three in on Zach Steffen. And, you know, it's, you know, barring a total collapse, I don't think that that happens. But, you know, I think the game truly on Sunday will end in a 1-1 tie. With Crew SC advancing, obviously, on the 2-1 aggregate scoreline. I just think, you know, I again, to talk about 2015 and, you know, coming close to, you know, literally being inches away, you know, 2015, I can think of just Michael Parkhurst hugging the goal line and everybody just basically, you know, throwing all 11 guys into the goal and just, you know, trying to keep the ball out. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a 1-1 scoreline on Sunday. 2-1 aggregate.
2-1 aggregate, your Columbus Crew advancing from Ralph Schedule. Alex, what you got?
So a couple things. Number one, thing we didn't get to touch on in the Red Bull game was the referees were god-awful.
They've been this entire game against DC United, too.
Yep.
I mean, the only cards you see are for dumb procedural bullshit like Pipa not stepping 10 yards back or throwing it in. Meanwhile, Wayne Rooney literally has three fouls where you've got who's their 10, who's just going around Acosta trying to just – awful. Just awful.
Yeah, Wayne Rooney gets to verbally assault people and gets a thumbs up from the referee. Pipa doesn't step back behind the shaving cream fast enough and gets a yellow card. So the fix will be in New York. This is my main point. The fix will be in.
Yep.
We are fighting not only the New York Red Bulls, but then also pro referees who will be getting their marching orders from Major League Soccer to not let the Crew advance. But this team is magic, and the referees can only do so much to ruin things. And so we will win. It's not going to be a draw. It's going to be a win because New York is going to push for the goal. And in years past, I think Greg Berhalter has tended to want to bunker in games like this. I think he's learned from that. I hope he has learned from that. Never bunker with this team because you will concede goals. Just play your normal game, and everything will be fine. New York's going to push. And they're going to get a lot of numbers forward. They're going to search for that goal. We're going to hit them 1-0. And they're going to push even more to try to get three. And we're going to hit them again. It's going to be 2-0. We're going to win.
I like it. Alex Stanek with a 2-0 win for Crew and Crew advancing. You know, personally, I see this as it's a tough game. You're going to go to, you know, anytime you got to go to New Jersey, it's tough. And I see Crew, you know, going out there and actually losing, falling 2-1, but advancing on aggregate with the away goal. I'm just kidding. Of course not. I think it's going to be 4-2. I think basically Alex's butt on steroids. I think they're going to maybe 4-1 for that matter. But I think Crew is just going to is going to hop on them a couple times with counters, and then just New York is going to be broken and just to the point where they don't really care anymore, and Crew might get another goal or two late. But I think Columbus it's a team of destiny. Sorry. You don't do what they do, and then the New York Red Bulls and Bradley Wright Phillips and those guys, you don't stop this. I'm sorry. Don't walk in front of the train. You can just forfeit now. It's fine. No one's going to judge you.
That's smart. That's a smart plan. They should just forfeit ahead of time and save their fans all of the pain and misery, because as everyone knows, New York Red Bulls are never going to win MLS Cup. Because we are going to eliminate them every time that they have a real good chance at it. Those are just the rules.
They even moved them to another conference so they could almost win MLS Cup, and we still had to beat them.
Yeah, those are just the rules. We will beat them anytime that they have a really competitive team. That's actually one of the secret policies in Major League Soccer. It's in the same vault with the SUM agreement and the Austin Clause.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are just the rules. But in all seriousness, New York Red Bulls fans, they're pretty cool. They've been super chill about the whole Save the Crew thing, very supportive.
Less white supremacist than NYCFC.
Yeah, yeah. They don't have any confirmed neo-Nazis who are being protected by their front office. Oh, so that's good. That's always a good thing. Don't want any neo-Nazis turning up at games. But yeah, certainly going to be a fun one in New Jersey there. But I think Crew SC will get it done. And my guess is New York City is going to get eliminated. We're going to face Atlanta. And I would love to beat Atlanta again, preferably on penalties, just to kind of, you know, rub a little salt on that wound there.
Oh, dear.
Little bit, you know, just give them a little bit of flashbacks and you know, have Stefan pull it off again. I'm not saying that they should, you know, go up ahead really early and then just kind of let Atlanta get back into it in the second leg so that, you know, they think that they've got a chance, but then they really don't. But that's, you know, again, we're talking genie lamp stuff here, and this has been a magical season, so why not just dream a little bit? That's what I like to see. But Crew definitely getting by New York, I think. We'll get it done. This team is special. Pipa's the GOAT. We're going to do it.
Oh, and that, I can't think of a better note to leave us off with. So that's what we will do. We'll be back next week to celebrate a incredible Crew win, to be assured. Alex, Ralph, pleasure as always, gentlemen. Bye, buddies.